Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Looper. How are you?
Doing good.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. It's by the time the show is on air, it's now 2026.
Yeah. I had a great Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I ate a lot of fun stuff. I was kind of in a mood. I don't know why. It happens from time to time. And so it got me thinking about sugar.
Uh-huh, which is on everybody's taste buds this time of year.
Well, I've sworn it off.
Yes.
As of yesterday.
Well, since I've been working with you, since I've known you, you are, I'm going to say, a freak of nature with how regimented you are in your diet and just how diligent you are in avoiding it. So, I mean, a little break here and there seems fine for the typical person, but it can be really detrimental.
So my 10-year-old boy, I came to find out recently that he's never had coffee cake. He didn't know what it was.
Okay.
And so we went and got some coffee cake, and he said, "This is the best thing I've ever eaten in my life." And I thought, well, I want to see how good is it. So I had a bite, and it was mediocre. And I said, look, you want a coffee cake? I can make a coffee cake. I have these skills. I used to be a cook, and I know how to bake. And so I got some chops, old stuff I know how to do. So I whipped up a coffee cake and blew his little mind.
Aww.
And then I figured out how I could eat sugar and get away with it. What I do is I eat a little square about that big.
Just the littlest amount.
And I ate a little square, and I got the experience of coffee cake.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ate a little square every day.
Uh-huh.
And in the end of the process of eating 3 coffee cakes, a square at a time, you know, with company and everything.
Sure, sharing.
I ended up gaining about 3 pounds.
Yeah.
And so I keep track of my weight. I weigh myself every day and kind of see the trend. And it's a common thing to happen during the holidays, right? And yeah, I'm on top of it. I'm going to nip this in the bud. And it's got me thinking about sugar. Here's the deal with sugar. It's, why is it bad for us? Because it's delicious. I love sugar. Isn't it weird how something bad for us that we would like so much to where the people a lot of times just get addicted to it? Yes. I was addicted. I was eating, looking forward to my square of coffee cake every day, thinking, woo, when we get to have some coffee cake?
Most of us are addicted. Most of us take it in the form of coffee, take it in the form of sugary, just drinks here and there that we don't think are as detrimental because we're not eating the ice cream, because we're not having the cake or the cupcakes, but it's embedded in all of our food in so many hard-to-recognize ways
that we can't get around it. We have an instinct to crave sugar.
Mm-hmm.
As a species. Not everybody has this, but the vast majority of us do.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have it double.
Yep.
So, why? What's the dealio? Why are our instincts, which should be helping us, so screwed up in this one? Do you have any idea?
Because that's how we've been wired, because it releases dopamine in our body. And then we, instead of doing the difficult, more challenging thing to receive our dopamine, we go for the instantaneous fix. We go for the phone that gives us anything we want at the touch of a button. We go for the little latte with French vanilla or the pint of ice cream that has 230 grams sugar in a pint.
You're right. So we're rewarded for being so clever as to find this wonderful food that's got this thing that's just amazing. Now, here's the real reason. You're right. Everything you said exactly right. But the piece that you're missing here is that in the old, old, old days, there was no ice cream. There was no coffee cake. All there was, fruits and vegetables and animals that you had to hunt down with a spear.
Uh-huh.
Now, living in that world, anything you found that was sweet, was fabulous.
Right, and berries only came in certain seasons.
Yeah, it was always the best stuff. Mm-hmm. Literally, the best stuff. Not just the best because it's, well, it's got sugar and we like that. No, 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 because it's got nutrients. It's got vitamin C. It's got magnesium. It's got phosphorus. It's got all the stuff that you'd need. All the richness and abundance of wonderful nutrients that our body needs and craves. And sugar is a marker of fabulosity in nature. Farmers know this. What they do is they'll test their crops, you know, broccoli or cauliflower, whatever, for their sugar content. It's called a Brix score, B-R-I-X. And when the Brix score peaks, that's when the crop's ready to pick. That's when it tastes the best, but that's also when it's its most nutritious, when the nutrients are at the highest density, and when everything comes together, when it's fabulous. Right. So our instinct is not wrong. Our instinct is exactly right. That craving for sugar that we have that's hardwired into us is there for a good reason, because that's one of the clues that we can use to find what's best in the world.
Right.
Now, our bodies are very good at being able to pick up clues and tell what's going on. Our bodies are not very good at being able to see what's really going on. See, there's a difference there. There's clues. In the old world, our bodies work fine for finding the good stuff.
Yeah.
In the new world that we live in now, our bodies suck.
No, because all of that nutrients is no longer in these sugary products.
Yeah, right. Because if you had to leave the nutrients in, then it's tasting delicious for the microorganisms, and so it rots. They digest it.
Yep.
If they're around, unless the product is sterile, mm-hmm. if they're around, they'll eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you remove those nutrients, you refine the product to where that the little bugs can't eat it anymore because they need magnesium and they need iron and they need whatever they need, and none of that is in this product, then it's not easily digestible, and so it doesn't rot. And you can put it in a box, put it on a shelf, let it sit there for 6 months and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the manufacturers want to do that. I mean, they'd be fools if they did it any other way. You can't sell rotten stuff. They send it back, right? And so you don't want things to rot. So here it is. There's logical and appropriate reasons for manufacturers of food to create kinds of food that are tasty and delicious and don't rot. And by doing that, what you need to do is you need to concentrate the sugar. Not always in every single food, but in general.
Right.
Concentrate the sugar, decrease the nutrients, and then you get a better product. And people love it. It flies off the shelves. That's called Oreos.
Yes. It's called Chips Ahoy. That's called Tillamook ice cream.
Yeah, right. There's a zillion things that are like that.
Yeah.
That have that right, you know, taste balance, and that they are preserved. Tillamook ice cream is actually fairly decent. It's got all kinds of good stuff in it. And it'll rot in a second. That's why it has to be frozen.
Yeah.
So that's how you get around the problem on that one. Tillamook ice cream is super dense in nutrients. I mean, it's got too much fat, too much sugar in it for sure. But it's not the worst thing ever. Most of the stuff we're really talking about is stuff that's got simple carbs, lots of sugar, very little nutrients
chips,
into it.
Chips, cookies,
yeah, right. Baked
cakes.
Goods, pastry, stuff like that. Those are the worst ones. And those are the worst ones also because they hurt your body. Okay. So we talked about what's bad about sugar. We didn't talk about what's good about sugar. Actually, we started to talk about what's good about sugar. So here's what's good about sugar. I'm going to say it again. Sugar is a mark of fabulosity in nature. When you come across food that's high in sugar in nature, growing, these foods are fabulous.
The
They're the best you can get. The blueberries are the best. The apricots are the best. The broccoli's the best. The Brussels sprouts are the best. Everything's the best. The ones with the highest sugar are all the best. This is super useful to be able to recognize that as a species, be able to go out and find the good stuff. And when you find the good stuff, your brain goes, and oh, you're so good. You did fabulous. We're all doing great because you were so clever, right? And then you get this hit, this dopamine hit. That's appropriate. So you should get rewarded because you did a great job. Except for now, we don't live in that world anymore. But there's other things about sugar. Okay, what is it about sugar other than it's a marker of other nutrients? What about sugar in and of itself? Has it got any redeeming characteristics in and of itself, just for sugar? The answer is, yeah, tons.
It gives you energy, right?
For sure. It's easily burned. Depending on what kind of sugar. There's lots of different kinds of sugar out there. But glucose is easily burned.
Mm-hmm.
Other sugars are fairly easily burned. And they, you know, have a fair density of calories in them. They store a lot of energy. So when we get sugar in our system, it's easy to break down. It's easy to digest. It's easy to burn in our cells. We're all set up for using sugar, dealing with sugar. So sugar turns out to be a great fuel. It helps in some other little teeny ways. It helps with absorption of water. If you are trying to get water into somebody who's dehydrated, they'll hydrate faster if you put a little bit of sugar in the water that you're giving them, because your body will absorb the sugar and then the water follows the sugar.
Okay.
So it's a way to enhance hydration. Again, food manufacturers know this. They put
Gatorade
a pinch of salt. Yeah, it's Gatorade or whatever other kind of stuff like that. They put a pinch of salt and a pinch of sugar in it, and it makes this thing. It's, you know, it's kind of sweet. It's not particularly sweet. Though they have come up with new versions of it, Powerade, that say they have a third more sugar in them, so they're sweeter. Mm-hmm. And for kids, given the Gatorade or given the Powerade, they go for the Powerade every time because it's got more sugar and they get that reward more from it. So it's the somewhat healthy rehydration drinks have all migrated over to Sugarland.
Yes, very much so. And then all of these somewhat healthy hydration drinks have also taken out all of the sugar and guised themselves under these healthier drinks options with no sugar, but put in all of these additives to make themselves sweet again.
Yeah, one of the things that I've come to recognize that if a product claims it's healthy, it's not.
Low fat.
It is one of the most consistent ways to tell whether things are healthy or not. If they say, this is healthy, it's not.
Yep.
It's a super good clue. So at this point now, I'm going shopping. First of all, I stay away from the middle of the store because anything in a box is suspect. And then if I come across something that catches my eye for whatever reason, it says, you know, healthy, whatever, it's like, put it back.
Yeah.
I've been tricked before.
Yeah. We've been
those,
here.
Those fat-free cookies or so they had some kind of thing. And I thought, oh, these are great. When I was a teenager and I ate them and they turned out to be horrible.
Yeah.
They you know, they fiddle with chemistry and they come up with something that's fake and doesn't work.
And they add all of these fake sugar substitutes that actually end up being worse for you than sugar itself.
Yeah, so let's go back to talk about sugar. Sugar is fabulous. I don't want to be down on sugar because sugar is great. I went out of my way to make coffee cake for my
and cinnamon
boy.
Rolls.
That was one in the series that we went through. Cinnamon rolls was one of them. Yes. I know I foisted them off on you guys because we couldn't eat all these cinnamon rolls. And they all came out great. They were all fabulous. It was fun. It was weird for me to be doing this thing.
It was very weird.
I had to swear it off.
Yeah, a year past, we had a...
I banned them from the clinic.
Yeah,
and
you said,
a year later, I brought them in.
No more cinnamon rolls.
That's different.
So, okay, it gives us energy.
All right, so why is
it
bad?
It's a marker for...
Let's go back. So what the badness is very straightforward, the reason why it's bad. There's lots of reasons, but the main one is, I'll go slow on this one, sugar is sticky. Sugar, well, you know why sugar's sticky. You pour it on the counter, it gets sticky. But molecularly, it's sticky.
It does that inside your body as well.
Yeah, it gets in your body, and some of it sticks to stuff inappropriately. And when stuff's got sugar stuck to it, that stuff doesn't work as well. Or is just plain broken. Well, you got the two options. Either it doesn't work right, or it doesn't work at all. It doesn't work better.
Mm-hmm.
So our body knows this. We love sugar. We burn sugar. We need sugar. Everybody basically uses sugar. But it also doesn't like the sugar sticky thing. And so there are cells in our body whose job is to go find the sugar and to scrape it off, if it's possible. Now, sometimes it's in tricky spots that it can't be scraped off. And then in those cases, what it does is basically just takes a bite out of that whole area and then remakes a new one as best it can. There's repairing going on, more or less, okay? But, you know, some repair going on. So the sugar stickiness is an important number to be aware of. So for people listening, should know how much sugar is stuck to their bits. And you can run a test. It's an easy test. It's cheap. It's called a A1C. And A1C is a kind of a hemoglobin that gets sugar stuck to it. And just like everything else in our bodies, all the other proteins get sugar stuck to them. It's, the hemoglobin's not special or different from anything else. It's just easier to get out of our body. You put a needle in, you pull some blood, it's in the blood. So it's an easy test to do. Otherwise, you're going to have to put a needle in and get some meat.
Right.
And pull the meat out, or some kidney, or something like that. Man, people do not want to get their kidneys sampled to see what their blood sugar stickiness is. Let's just use the blood. It's easier, it's safe. And you just grow new blood So it's a reasonable way to
and get, they don't this, take that much.
Get this number. And they don't take that much, right? So it's the amount of pain and suffering is minor.
Right.
And the information you get is major. And so what the A1C is reported as is a number. Typically, it's between 5-something and who knows what, 6, 7, 8, 9, depending on how bad it is, something. So 5.2, 6.7, 8.9, whatever, stuff like that. So those kinds of numbers. And so what it's measuring is the amount of sugar that's stuck to a unit of hemoglobin and given as a percentage. And so over the years, people have done research and they've associated diseases with certain A1C numbers. And diabetes is anything over
5.6.
5.6, 5.7 is the where they cut it off from normal. The top of normal, you still get some increase in diseases. For example, dementia. Your chances of getting dementia is increased if your A1C is 5.5, 5.6, 5.7. Now, your chances of getting diabetes, you're not going to have diabetes at that point. You're not even outside of normal at that point. But you go 30, 40 years, 50 years of this amount of sugar sticking to your brain, eventually your brain gets addled and you get dementia, right? So not everybody. Some people have ability to clean more than other people's do, and so they can take more sugar and clean it. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But on average, looking at, 1,000 people or 10,000 people, there's going to be a certain percentage of them are going to get dementia after 5.4 and above. Now, below that, there's no increase in dementia at all. No increase in any disease whatsoever. I'm always able to keep up on cleaning the sugar out of our system and getting everything to run well in terms of the sugar below 5.4. So 5.4 is the number you should be shooting for. Check your A1C, see what it is. If you're above 5.4, then you need to do something to get your sugars down. If it's below 5.4, you're good. Whatever you're doing is good. Just keep doing it. Now, if you're below, if you're above 6.4, 6.2, somewhere around there, you're into diabetes land. In between there, it's pre-diabetes land. And as you go, as the A1C goes up higher, what means is more sugar is being attached to more things. And so the destruction process is just going on at a faster clip.
And because so you're consuming more sugar consistently.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Depends on the reason why the sugar's high. Occasionally, people's system, sugar regulation system is broken. That's called diabetes type 1.
They don't produce.
They just don't make any insulin, yeah. And so they can't regulate sugar very well at all. And so sugars go skyrocketing high. I had a guy come in with an A1C of 16. And people running at a 16, you're not long for the planet. I mean, they won't last 10 years, probably, somewhere around there, because the sugar's being laid down too thick. They go blind, they get kidney failure, they get nerve damage, they get a bunch
of
kind of
stuff. Have to amputate.
Yeah, so let's talk about the stickiness. Now, if the sugar sticks to delicate proteins that it's very important that they're set up exactly the right way, in the same order, doing whatever they're going to do, those proteins are particularly sensitive to sugar, and those ones will suffer the most. Think about the retina in your eye, the way the proteins pick up photons and then register them. That's exquisitely sensitive. It's tuned to the max. And if you change that at all, it doesn't work. Kidneys are another place where the protein structure is very important, and they do a lot of heavy work and a lot of cleaning, and so they're sensitive to high sugars. Nerve tissue, brain tissue is sensitive to high sugars. Now, regular connective tissue, like my elbow, the way it pulls, you put sugar in there, it works fine. It doesn't really change it much at all. So there's some stuff in our body that's really not affected by sugar much, a little bit, not much, and other parts of our body that are absolutely wrecked by sugar. And you can tell what those parts are easy by just looking at somebody who's had high blood sugars for a long time and seeing how they break. And so that's what shows up. So our body has the ability to clean some sugar off as long as the sugar's not been being piled on too much. Again, those numbers I mentioned is 5.4 and below, our body can keep up. 5.5 and above, our body tends to not be able to keep up. You start losing ground. Now, at 5.5, you're not losing much ground, just a teeny little bit. But at 6.5, you're losing a lot of ground. At 7.5, holy moly, you're going down. Eventually, it's going to crush you because you can't get fixed enough. So we've done shows on diabetes before and how to manage your blood sugars a bit more. I want to, instead of going into the diabetes part of this thing, I'm willing to. You can push me into that conversation. I'd rather talk about common sense kind of thing, which is watch your A1C if it's too high, then you got to decrease the amount of sugar in your diet. And what you need to do is increase the cleaning in your diet. That's often overlooked. People never talk about that. It turns out to be a thing.
And so what I think in cleaning is I think rest. I think sleep, because that is the space where our body repairs itself.
Yeah, you think right. That's exactly where it happens. All this cleaning, well, not all of it, most of this cleaning is happening at night. In fact, the first part of the night, when you're the first part of the sleep, about the first third to half of the sleep, that's where the heavy-duty cleaning's going on.
And I also think keeping a low-stress lifestyle, regulating your nervous system so that you don't have spikes in cortisol, catecholamine, the stress hormones that call for the sugar so that the body is able to respond.
You're right. Except for how do you do that? I don't know how to do that. I live on the planet Earth.
Yeah.
I don't live in utopia.
True.
I live where there's all this stuff going on all the time. And my body has to mount a response to the stress and trials and tribulations that go on. So I think trying to create a low stress life, though it's a laudable goal, we should strive for that for sure. Unless you've achieved it. And then you need to increase your stress in your life. So you're removing either out of stress or into stress on purpose because we need stress.
What are other ways that the body cleans itself?
Well, we could just take the whole cleaning dial and turn it up by increasing our temperature. Everything runs better. Just the whole system runs better.
So our sauna?
Kind of. Sauna works really well as long as you finish the sauna with cold. So you look at the traditional sauna, they didn't just go bake. They baked.
And then they snow rolled.
And then they rolled in the snow. Mm-hmm. Which is not as bad as you think.
No, it's great.
Because snow is a super good insulator, so it doesn't actually make you cold like you think it would. Now, what really makes you cold is to plunge into an ice-cold pool. But who's got that, right? If you do, you consider yourself lucky, but most people don't have that. So what you have to do is you have to do a sauna and then go and do a shower.
Yep.
And do a cold water shower.
Yep.
Is what you do. And that'll do it. So you want to finish on cold, so our bodies are demanded to be warm. So you make us cold and our body fights back to go warm and we get warm. Now, if what we do is we just soak up warm from the environment, then our body goes, hey, we don't need to make any warm, and it kicks back and you turn into a lizard. And you just start seeking heat sources.
Right.
And people like that live around here. They're always got some kind of heater going under their desk. Electric blanket.
Yep.
You know, hot water bottle, whatever. They're trying to suck in the heat from the environment. And they feel better when they do, but it weakens them. And so I have this ongoing discussion with every member of my family about that's gonna make you weak.
Yep.
The hot seat thing in the car, you hit the little button and it makes your seat hot.
Mm.
Man, everybody loves that in my family except for me, and I'm firmly against that. Never use it. Though I did, it's been 40 below the last few days, and I was sorely tempted to use that button.
Oh my gosh, it'll change your life. It really will. There's reasons why these things are invented.
You know, it's funny. I couldn't actually. If there was a button that said hit this and you get a hot seat, I'd have pressed it. But I didn't know where the button was, so I just did it the old-fashioned way. And by the time I got home, the seat had melted.
Oh,
you know, the car seat around here turns into like plywood.
Yep.
It normally you get a car seat, and there's this cush.
Yeah.
Not around here, isn't it?
They're in these cold stints.
Boom. Wow.
Yep. Yep. So we can heat our system.
Yeah, if we heat up. Now, exercise is the best way to do it. Let's keep it simple. We can go, you know, layers and layers and layers on this thing. Too many. The easier thing to do is warm up every day. That's what you should do. Let me keep it simple. Warm up every day. Take 10 minutes and warm up. Do some kind of warm up, some kind of stretching. Some kind of, I don't know,
jumping jacks
or whatever, something like that. You
burpee.
Do a thing, something, and you do this little 10-minute warm-up when you wake up in the morning, and now you have a better body.
Yeah.
And everything runs better We need to do another show. We've done a show on exercise more times than I can think of. But it warrants going over again. How do you do this? Why do you do this? What's going on? Now, we're going to not do that today, but we're going to just say, do it. Do it. This warm needs up. To be done. Yes. You've got to warm up. You warm up, everything runs better.
Well, yeah, you think about it. In these cold temperatures that we're facing recently, and nothing will move at 40 below. You have to go out and you warm it up. And I'm specifically thinking of your vehicle. Like,
yeah.
If you drive off on a 40 below vehicle with a cold start, that is hard.
Yeah, really hard on your car.
Yeah.
It is. It's going to wear it out fast.
Yep.
Yeah, so the human body depends on temperature to do its thing. We have enzymes that have to take place. Things have to connect with other things and then make other stuff. And things are manufactured all the time. And things are broken down and they're recycled all the time. There's all kinds of stuff remodeling going on in our bodies. The bodies that we live in right now, you and I, this is the newest version of ourselves. This is not the version we had a year ago. It's not the version we had a month ago.
Every 7 years,
everything's remodeling.
Yep.
Now, it's not every 7 years because some stuff lasts longer than other stuff. But there's this remodeling process going on all the time. Has to. Otherwise, we don't live. We're this, you know, the system going on. So it depends on temperature. If temperature's low, the remodeling is not good. And then you basically just grind into, And if the temperature's good, then you got a better chance of staying on top of stuff. Your chance of being able to fix something like sugar is increased.
And the warmer you are, the higher your metabolism is. So
yeah.
You're burning more of that
right.
sugar.
And then you're going to burn... The downside of that is you're going to burn more calories. And so it takes more food to keep you going. In the olden days, we did this all the time because we were out working hard. We were out in the cold. We were getting lots of exposure to stress, and our body had to mount a response to it. So, you know, our hard-working ancestors, so long-suffering, hard-working ancestors, tended to be warmer than we are. As a nation, we're colder. We tend to run about a degree, three-quarters of a degree colder than we used to run. 98.6 used to be normal. It's in the book. You read the book, what's a normal temperature? 98.6. How many times you see 98.6 coming in the door? 1 in 20? 1 in 30?
Not even that.
1 in 50?
It's usually 97.5.
Yeah, over and over and over again. 97.5, 97.5. That's what we see. We see 97.5, 97.8. 98.1, maybe that. Woo, we got a 98. This is a warm person.
98.3, maybe.
Yeah, we okay. Let me just. You're right. We basically never.
No, I've never seen a 98.6.
Nah, I have. I've seen them a few times. They pop up occasionally. They do. There are still those few people that have a 98.6. Everybody else is running low, including me, including you.
Yeah.
We're the same. Now I don't run as low as most everybody else because I exercise every day and I'm doing a bunch of other stuff. But still, you know, what part of, I live in here in our country, and I eat cheesecake. I eat coffee cake occasionally, at least lately.
Yeah, it's the season.
So, we are different than we used to be. So, and why? I mean, what's the dealio? What's happened here? And we don't know exactly why. There's no real one reason why.
Well, we don't live those active lifestyles
anymore. There it is.
We don't hunt. We don't forage.
That's it.
We don't gather. We don't.
That's it. That's where you get down to it. That's it.
Really?
That's what it is. Yeah.
Work for our livelihood. We do in other ways, but not how we used to.
Yeah. So let me just conclude and say sugar's great. Sugar's fabulous. Sugar's a wonderful thing in moderation. And so what we want to do is we want to keep our blood sugars on the low side. Do an A1C, check it. If you're 5.4 or below, you're good. If you're 5.5 or higher, you got to change how you're living. You got to make some kind of change. We'll talk about how to do that later, but make some kind of change to get it to where you don't get sick from the stickiness that sugar does piling up in your body and slowly but surely wrecking things. And the one that's most sensitive to all, the first one to show up is dementia. And yeah, that's a drag. Dementia, we don't like dementia. We want to avoid dementia if we possibly can. So yeah, keep on top of your blood sugars. That's my advice.
Wonderful, Dr. Looper. Thank you.
My pleasure.
We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy.
This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.